Age 96, I believe. I've been marking it in the art scroll Shara Bitochen. Okay, so let's see what we could do with that. And it's from the mercy that the Creator, the exalted Creator, Ala Odom, on a person, that he caused us to be torud, to be overwhelmed, to be constantly engaged with worldly pursuits and, you know, long-term pursuits, what's going to be, and so forth. Very interesting. We look at work as a curse. In fact, it's not just because we're lazy or we don't like to work, but we know it's b'zeas apecha toich alechem, that this was actually a curse to Adam Arishain, you know, after eating from the Eitz Hadas, that from now on, everything is not going to be provided for you. The Malochim are not going to prepare wine and meat for you, as it says he did for the Marisha. You're going to have to work. So we look, that is a curse in a sense. But in reality, that curse carries with it a big blessing. Not only is it a blessing, but he says, Mechem las habire. He says, this is Hashem ad rachmonis on us. And he made us be involved in making a living and pursuing life and taking care of the details, not having everything done for us. Now, of course, one of the reasons Chazal give, which we may be familiar with, Chazal say that the Alter from Slabotka points out, he says, in the curse of B'zeas HaPecha Toch HaLechem lies the greatest brocha. Because Chazal say, Odom Roitze Bekab Sheloi B'tisho Kabin Shel Chaveroi. A person would rather have one measurement, whatever a kab is, you know, a certain measurement of his own, than nine times as much from somebody else. I worked for it. It's mine. I have ownership. I earned it. I deserve it. There's a blessing in that very curse of having to work is a blessing. But that's not all. The Chavis Halvovitz tell us, Mechem las habiri. Hashem had rachmonis on us, that he was matrid us, that he made us go through all these efforts to work. Le'sase kol yemei chayov b'zeh. It's his entire life. He has to be oisik in this. And even, I guess, if there's such a thing as retirement, people have to make sure they save for retirement, they invest for retirement. There's life to parnosa, and taking care of life's needs are a lifetime project. What's the brocha? Why did Hashem have rachmonis? What's the rachmonis? He's not going to look after things that are unnecessary, that he doesn't need. And things that he cannot achieve with his seichel. People that have nothing to do are pondering the cosmos. I don't know what they're doing. They don't know what to do with themselves. Or they look for what to do. They look for what to read. They look for what to this. And they're searching for things that they never find. They're looking for the good life, which seems to constantly elude them. They're traveling all over the world to try to find some meaning in life, and they end up, you know, right back where they started from. And so it says these are things they can't even achieve. Kimo inyone haschola v'atichlo. He says, for example, where did the world come from? What's the end going to be? They're pondering all types of philosophical things and existential things. But in reality, the dvarim shel mabekach, where's it going to get you? It doesn't do anything for you. It's a waste. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite mercy, made sure that we're torud, we're busy, so we don't have time to think about all these things. And look, it sounds like these type of thoughts, and I think that's what it is, because it's very frustrating when you're constantly busy exploring beyond the powers of your exploration, of your seichel, of your imagination, of your capabilities. So life is just full of frustration. But you know, we're busy. We work. We have what to do. I have no time. This nonsense. Don't bother me with this philosophy. Don't bother where to do. What's the difference where the world came from? What's the difference? Right now, I know what I have to do. And it takes off an involvement in things that are really very frustrating. And it sounds like that life and work is less frustrating than just these empty thoughts that really don't get me any place. And you know something? I think there's an explanation for it too. We're very purpose-oriented. We want to have a purpose. In fact, I would stop for a moment to mention this. I think it's a good, an important thing. You know, everybody wants to be happy. It's the universal desire of everyone to be happy. The world is spending more money and time and effort on happy pursuit of happiness than anything else. Yet, by any rates or statistics, the world doesn't seem to be too happy a place. I think the reason is because they don't know what happiness is. If you don't know what you're looking for, you won't find it. In fact, our society has taught us that there's a relationship, there's a definition of happiness equaling pleasure, and nothing can be further from the truth. Anyone who has spent years, days and weeks and months and years pursuing pleasure only can testify that it doesn't make me happy. That's not what it's about. And I believe I understand the reason why. Because the definition of happiness is, osher is a very high form of happiness. Aleph, shin, resh. The sheresh, aleph, shin, resh, in Loshon HaKodesh means ishur, validation. Happiness is about feeling good about yourself. I feel worthy. I feel valid. I feel good about myself. That's the definition of happiness. Now, one of the most critical ingredients in feeling good about oneself is purpose, meaning, and purposeful activities. If a person doesn't have any sense of purpose, my life is just empty. Just I'm sitting around doing nothing all day long. You know, that may be good for a summer vacation, but maybe you can't get enough of it during the summer. But after everything is said and done, if all year long would be vacation, if all year long would be pondering the cosmos, if all year long we think, where did this world come from? Hey, let's think about that. Let's hypothesize about that. Well, where is it going? What's this? What's that? What's the tachlis? No tachlis, no feeling good about myself, no happiness. A person who works and he produces, he's nene megia kapoi. He put in the effort and it's his. He has ownership over his business. He has ownership over his parnosa. He has ownership over his accomplishments. He has ownership over everything he does because he did it. So we're not talking now in the spiritual realm of what Hashem does and we really can't do. But on a certain human level, the things that I do, I feel good. And when I have a purpose and I feel good about myself and my life is, my actions are purposeful. I have, even just the simple purpose of I'm working to be able to put food on the table. The most elementary, cause and effect. I work in order to put food on the table. That's meaning something. The work has a meaning. It doesn't have as much meaning as a spiritual meaning, but it has meaning. And whereas otherwise, if I didn't have to do that, I'd have a life without meaning, just pondering and thinking and all kinds of thoughts. That and he points out very clearly that I won't be. I'm going to be searching after things that I can't possibly find with my seichel. The mail of my life is empty. I have no purpose. So that's why this is Mechemlas Hashem. It's a big chesed.
Rabbi, quick question. He's worried that if people weren't working, they were going to spend their time trying to understand the beginnings of the universe.
Yeah, if you have not, what? The teachings of?
The universe? Like, where did he get that from?
I don't think he says teaching. The person's going to, if you have nothing to do, if you have nothing to do, you think about everything. What about this? What about that?
Maybe you'll learn more. Maybe you'll do more chesed. I'm just curious. Like, why is this it was such a chesed because now you're not going to start sitting and thinking about like how the world was started.
But the point. You're right. The point is, if a person is going to learn, that's part of what he has to do. The meaningful part of life. But if a person doesn't have, let's say he's not such a learned person. Let's say he can't sit and learn. Let's say whatever he's, whatever the reason is. But if he has nothing to do, now learning is part of it. And he's also going to explain more. Let's wait a little bit.
Why doesn't he say he won't do Averis? Like, why is it like?
Well, first of all, he said that before, I think. He said that before he's going to say it. He definitely says that. I think he said that what we did last time. Yeah. He did say that. Anyway,
I'm just curious why he picked such a funny sounding thing.
No, because when you have nothing to do, that's a pretty. Listen, I'll ask you a question. You see people that retire, and they don't have any real anything real that they do, and they sit around, I hate to say it, just waiting for the Malach HaMos to come. They play a little shuffleboard, they play a little poker, they play a little bit, they go golf, they do this, but they really, life needs purpose.
No, purpose. I agree.
Even the most rudimentary, simple, not spiritual or elevated purpose, just like working to put bread on the table, that in itself is already meaningful. And when I don't have that, it's a terrible rachmonis, because I'm just sitting around meaninglessly. Pondering the cosmos is meaningless. Thinking about all kinds of dorem shel mabakach, especially pursuing things of curiosity that I have no way of ever knowing. And I would add to that something else that he doesn't say. I have no way of ever being sure, even if I think I know. All the theories we come up with, this theory, that theory, the other theory, I don't know. There's no way of knowing. So my whole life doesn't have any reality. We need reality. If we don't have reality and real purpose, true purpose, then what's it all about? Let's leave it at that for the moment. Okay, let's see, because he continues. He does say more. Anyway, so he says, and he brings a pasuk here. He says, he put the whole world into their hearts, but they can't find anything, what it's all about. The actions that Hashem did from beginning to end, they don't get it. It's just wasting, just sitting, just doing nothing. And that's very, very depressing. Okay. Now then he goes the contrary. And this is a little bit referring to what you were referring to too. If he makes a service of Hashem the priority, this is what I'm doing, and chooses Yiras Hashem. My life is a life of avodas Hashem, service of Hashem, Yiras Hashem, and there's a third ingredient that he needs. He trusts in Him. In Inyone Torah, I trust Him that everything I learn and I do mitzvahs, and I trust that this is all the right thing and the good thing to do. And in Olomo and in everything else in my parnos and everything I do in my life. So again, I have the primary focus on Avodas Elokim. I'm choosing in Yira Shomayim. I'm focused on that. I'm trusting Hashem in the Ruchnius that I do and in the Gashmius. And he distances himself from disgusting things, things that are inappropriate. And he desires to have good midos. He will not kick in menucha. He will not, in the state of menucha, he will not give up anything. He will not either give up mitzvahs or ponder meaningless pursuits. For lo yite el hashalva, lo yite el hashalva. He means that he's not going to look for a shalva. I guess shalva means peace, but I guess he's not going to look for just leisure and doing nothing in this, because he has a life. Again, what's going to stop him from this? For lo yashiyehu hayetzer yetzer won't be able to convince him. For lo yifas bichishvei ha'olam, he's not going to be mechushif by like enticed by all the kishuf, all the magic and all the enticements of the world. Yistalek me olav terach hagilgul v'hasibuv v'havuas tarapoy. Such a person. Oh, let's see from open. We'll see. That's what's going to happen to him. So who are we talking about? We're talking about a person who is now focused on avodas Hashem, on yiras Hashem, on bitochen in Hashem, on distancing himself from inappropriate things, hoping and craving for midas tovos, and such a person, the lack of obligation to work will not have a negative impact on him, because he has something instead. He has a true meaning and purpose in his life. He has a higher level of purpose in his life. My life is not only just to put bread on the table, but my life is about avodas Hashem and yiras Hashem and bitochen Hashem, and remove myself from this dip for inappropriate things and craving for me to service. Such a person is not going to be in that same situation where he has no purpose, nothing to do, and he's running and looking for other things to do. He says, such a person, Hashem will remove the tircha for parnosa and bringing about all of the necessary things that he needs for his life. In other words, the burdens of life are upon us, according to this reason, besides to save us from chet, because otherwise we're going to have a meaningless existence just pondering the unponderable, pondering nonsense, he says. And therefore, he gave us, we have to work, you have to work, you have to go to work, get up to work. Who has time to ponder all these things? But the person who is dedicating himself to Avodas Hashem and to Yiras Hashem and Bitochom Hashem and pursuit of Gemidas Vechule, he says, such a person, Hashem will remove the burden of work from him. He doesn't have to work because he doesn't need it to keep him spiritually in line or to keep his life full of meaning and to keep him away from the meaningless, because he has true meaning. He has his Avodas Hashem and he has his Yiras Hashem and he has his Bitochom and v'chule v'chule. So such a person will be spared the klola of Odom HaRishon, v'pnei histalku shnei haponim haniskroim me'olov, habechinov habe'ito batoivo. He says that habechinov habe'ito batoivo, v'pnei histalku shnei haponim habechinov. Oh yeah, oh that's right. No, I'm sorry, I don't understand this. One second. Oh, that's right. He won't have any risk of rebelling against Hashem. He's not going to learn, look and search for other things. He's not going to kick. Rebita means to kick, to rebel. Betoiven, the good that Hashem gives him. And his needs, his sustenance, his needs, will come without any tircha, without any effort, and according to the level of that he needs to satisfy himself and to satiate himself. And the pasuk says, "Lo yariv Hashem nefesh tzaddik." Hashem won't famish, won't hunger the nefesh of a tzaddik. So this is very, very, very important, and I believe very, very nagel amaisa, because what it basically says is that in spiritual pursuits, he will be exempted from that klola. He's not going to have to work to get his parnosa like a person who is not in that level. Why? Because he doesn't have the danger. He's not in danger. He's not in danger if he doesn't have, if he doesn't have to go to work, he's going to just ponder the cosmos. If he doesn't have to go to work, he's going to be sitting and learning. He's going to be davening. He's going to be involved in Yerush Shemayim. He's going to be involved with talking about Hashem. He's going to be working on his midos. And the Mela, Hashem spares him this work because he is not in need of it. The other guy was in need of it because if he's not busy, he's going to go ponder nonsense, just waste his life, feel empty and miserable, not accomplish anything. Not so the one who lives a life of Torah. So such a person doesn't need the tirchus to make his life meaningful. He has the ultimate meaning, and he's not going to run away and do silly things. So he doesn't need the burden to keep him in line, because he has the anchor in Torah and Yerushalayim, in Bitochon and in Midas Tevis, and all of these things. And I think that this is an important thing too, because very often people think, debate, consider, consult about how much work versus how much learning. Should I go to work more? Someone just asked me that the other day about I could put in extra hours. I'll make more money, but I won't be able to learn. And here we see something very interesting, that the whole reason, or one of the main reasons, that a person has to work altogether and that doesn't get his parnosa just directly from Shemayim, just like they did in the Midbar with the Mon, is because that work has to keep him out of trouble. But if he's learning and he's doing Avodas Hashem, he's keeping himself out of that trouble. He's not going to sit around pondering nothing. Such a person, Hashem will provide him miraculously, because he doesn't need the burden of work to keep his life on track. So therefore, sometimes we have to take into consideration that maybe I have to do less ishtalos. I have to do more Avodas Hashem. I have to do more learning. And in reality, that makes a big difference. I wanted to mention just at this point, yesterday, wish it was today, but yesterday was the yahrzeit of an individual. His name was Reb Yehuda Reb Yeshaya Cohen. His name was Edwin Cohen. He lived in the San Fernando Valley, passed away around 1982, I think it was. And it's a very interesting story. And it just underscores this idea. It was a summer, and we had a yeshiva. We had made a high school in North Hollywood in the San Fernando Valley. And we had a small post-high school based Medrash division, just barely a token amount of 10 students, because we used to send everyone away to New York. It wasn't exactly the place those days for yeshiva bochum. A number of about five or six very fine choshev bochum graduates of ours came back for the summer, and they were willing to stay in the Bismarish for the following year, but they had one condition, that not only would I be giving a shiur, which I used to do, but I have to be the whole morning seder in the Bismarish. That was 4 hours a day in the Bismarish, because it's a small Bismarish, they want to be able to talk and learning, whatever. I said, I wish I could do that, but I don't know. I don't think I can make a commitment like that, because I owe so much money from previous years, and I have to raise so much money this year, and I have to teach in high school, after this, after that. How could I undertake that 4 hours a day prime time in the Bismarish? But I don't like to make rash decisions. Give me 24 hours and I'll give you an answer. This was like a week before Elul. I go home, I ask my wife, and she says, a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Omer Reb Duchuli ben Hakona, makabel olav ol Torah, ma'avir men ol malchus ol derech eretz. If you accept the burden of Torah, then the burden of Malchus, payroll taxes, and derech eretz will be removed. I was makabel. The next day I come back, I tell him, Rosh Chodesh Elul, in a week from now, I'll be in the Bismarish the whole morning, bli neder. That night, I met someone. My father wants to talk to you. Introduce me to someone. Like a long story short, the man was very sick. He didn't have any family. He wrote a will, left the yeshiva as the beneficiary. He had no idea how much money he had. Passed away Yud Zayin El, which was yesterday, the yahrzeit. It should be an aliyah, asusis neshama. Left the yeshiva $1 million. The day that I was makabel the El Torah. So it's a similar idea to what we see over here, that the burdens of life are necessary to keep us out of trouble, so to speak, to keep us from doing averus, and to keep us from a life of just ponderance and misery and emptiness and Hashem es rachmonis. That's this yitzir kap of shalach kodesh boruch hu. That's this odom godel that I created. That's this selim elikim that I created. He's going to sit around all day nebuch like a nebuch and has nothing to do with just ponder the cosmos. Says that's a rachmonis. Hashem said no. You have to work. You won't have time for that. Like Paro said, tich paralei ma'avoido, that work, you won't be able to think about foolish thoughts. But if a person instead is focused on, as he said, avodas Hashem, yiras Hashem, bitochem b'Hashem, avoidance of decadent things, a craving for midas tovus, then such a person is going to be exempt from all the tirchus. And to the degree that he's focused on ruchnius, it's to that degree HaKadosh Baruch Hu will exempt him from the hishtadlus, from the efforts, and crown him with success in his parnosa and in his life's needs, despite the fact that he is not putting in all that effort. So I think this can be very, very encouraging too, in terms of the balance in life. We should not only not feel guilty about our hishtadlus when we take time off. You know, it's becoming quite fashionable today. I hear from a lot of people, I don't know how many, but this, that people, first they learn the koilil for an hour or two or three in the morning, and then they go to work. And besides the fact that people come home at night and they go to learn. So this whole idea of it's okay to minimize the hishtadlus, because the need for the hishtadlus emanates from this klola of other arishayin, whose purpose is that, one of the purposes is that we shouldn't just sit around doing nothing and contemplate all kinds of nonsense. And if I'm not doing nothing, in the spare time I'm learning, it's going to be a whole different thing. As long as we're talking about that, I would also want to share with you a cute thing that happened with Rabbi Chonon Wasserman. He came to the United States, and was 1939. So he walked into a store, and a storekeeper, you know, a frum Jew store. He asked him, there were no customers. He says, what are you doing? There are no customers. So he says, well, no, I read the newspaper. So he says, Chochem. He said, like this. When you read the newspaper, the Satan has no motivation to stop you. And therefore, these, you know, customers don't come. The Satan is fine with that. If you would be learning instead, then the Satan would be motivated to stop your learning. So what would he do? He'd send you customers galore. He'll say, everybody's going to come in because the Satan doesn't want you to learn. So you're going to have, the learning will bring more parnosa. So this is in a very backhanded way, but it's the same idea. And I just think that that we have to rededicate that concept. The purpose of creation is to be connected to Hashem. The greatest connection to Hashem comes through Torah, because the Torah is the Dvar Hashem. The Torah is Hashem's directives and message and guidance and the essence of the way we to lead our lives. So when we're connected to that, Hashem says, oh, you're doing that? I'm going to free you from other burdens. And that's it. Makabel ol Torah, avin ol malchus ol derech eretz. So I think that's a worthwhile message that we get. And hopefully, Be'ez Hashem, we should be able to strengthen our connection to learning, and that will bring about some ease in the parnosa. But I would caution just one thing, and that's as follows. I remember that over the years, when there were other times when finances were very tight for the yeshiva, so I used to say, hey, you know, I have to spend more time at the Beis Medrash, because when I spend time at the Beis Medrash, that's when money comes. And I would go down and spend more time at the Beis Medrash, and nothing would happen. I came to my wife and I said, where's your formula, Reb Nachuya ben Akona, the Kabbalah of Ol Torah? She said to me, when you do it for the Torah, it works. When you do it for the money, that's not Mekabbalah of Ol Torah. You're not going to the Beis Medrash to be Mekabbalah, to accept the burden of Torah. You're going to the Beis Medrash in this backhanded way to make money. That's not what the Tana was talking about. That doesn't, Hashem should help. We should go to the Beis Medrash not to make money. She goes to Beis Medrash to be Makabal the old Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take off from us the old Malchus and the old Derech Eretz. Call to a good night.